The American beaver is an important part of stream ecology. Beavers are known for slapping their flat tail to warn colony members. They sure are cute, but they're one of the most common species in damage complaints. Come along to learn all about North America's largest rodent. Hi, and welcome to the FVCC Nature Journal, the podcast for everyone who loves nature. We are coming to you from the beautiful campus of Flathead Valley Community College on the foot of the Swan Mountain Range of northwest Montana. I'm John Fraley, longtime instructor in wildlife conservation here at the college, and I also served 40 years with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Our producer is Colin Burkhart, and thanks to Morgan Ray, the library director, for offering the library as our podcast home. Well, the beaver is North America's largest rodent, and it's built for life on the water. And Colin is going to join us today. Colin, you've said you've seen a few beavers, right? Swimming around?
Once or twice. I never really got very close, and it was a long time ago. I don't think I was very old either.
Well, believe it or not, they're up to 60 pounds or greater. Some have actually measured up to 4 feet long. So it's a very large, for a rodent, it's huge. And it can be found throughout North America. And it's built for the water. It has that large flat tail. It's got large webbed hind feet for swimming.
And those teeth for the chewing.
Oh, the ever-growing teeth for gnawing on trees. They use the tail to balance while they're gnawing on trees or to go through the water. And then, as we said, it'll slap its tail against the water to signal danger or to warn away predators. And it has short front legs with heavy claws, and the rear legs are longer, and they use their rear webbed feet, as I said, to help propel themselves through the water. And when it's underwater, now this is unusual, its nose and ears close up, and a special membrane covers its eyes.
Oh, so like it's got its own natural snorkel mask.
It does. It really does. And then there's some other things about it that we'll talk about a little later that are really unique to beavers. And it waterproofs its thick fur by coating it with castoreum. Have you ever heard of that?
It's an oil.
Yeah, castor. And then their scientific name is Castor canadensis, which refers to that castoreum. And the oily secretion from that, from its scent glands, they put it all over their hide. And then, of course, they're in the water all the time, so it keeps them more comfortable. And the castoreum itself is very valuable for scents and lures if you're trapping. And Lewis and Clark used the castor scent, of course, when they were trapping beavers. And then the other thing you'll notice, and I really noticed this when I saw someone skin a beaver and flesh it, the beaver has a really thick layer of fat under its skin that helps keep it warm because it's underwater, you know, all winter long. One of the good places to watch beavers is if you go to Apgar up in Glacier National Park.
Really?
Yeah, there's a beaver lodge right at Apgar Bridge, and there's one at the Oxbow, just like half a mile up the little trail along McDonald Creek. And you can watch beaver doing their thing there. Now, of course, if it's snowing and frozen over, they're already up underneath their lodge.
They're in their little dome, yeah.
Yeah, and they can live in there. So they have these long, sharp upper and lower incisor teeth that they use to cut into trees and woody vegetation. The teeth grow throughout the beaver's life.
And they never stop?
Never stops during their life. And then their life cycle or their lifespan is supposedly up to about 8 to 12 years.
I wonder what the record is for the longest set of beaver's teeth.
That's a good question. I don't know. The ones I have on the skull I have, which I forgot to bring over to show you, are only about 3 inches long. But I mean,
that's pretty good.
That's a pretty good sized teeth, you know, to go along with that skull. And so they build these lodges of sticks and mud on islands, on pond banks or lake shores, and kind of dome shape, as you mentioned, and they can be up to 10 feet tall. And what they do is they have a large central chamber in there. So they swim up from underneath the water and get up into that dome shaped chamber, and they spread around these wood chips to keep their little spot dry when they're under there. So you look over and you go, boy, those poor things have to swim under the water. Well, they swim under the water, but then they come up inside their lodge, and then they can sit in that dry area.
Now, wood chips are like not real insulation, but kind of like makeshift insulation.
Right, and they have that heavy fat under their skin, so they between the two of them, they can stay pretty warm in there.
Keep the water out as well.
That's right. And the lodge itself has one large central chamber and one or two entrances for them to get in. Even when it's froze over, they can get in from underneath. And then the floor of the chamber is a little bit above the water level so that they aren't in the water when they're in there. Then there's a vent in the lodge itself that lets in fresh air. So if you keep all this in mind, the next time you see a beaver lodge and watch beavers come in and out, you get a little better understanding of what they're actually doing. And I don't know where you saw your beaver house or anything, but what they do is they cut down small trees of aspen, cottonwood, and alder, and then they and willow, and they sink it in the water there. And then in the winter, they can reach it down there because it's not frozen on the surface. And so that's where they're coming in and out to eat that all winter long. And they eat the bark and the cambium, which is that, it's kind of a soft tissue.
I thought it was a myth that they ate wood. They really do subsist on wood?
Oh, yeah, on the bark and the cambium, which is that, it's like a soft tissue that grows under the bark of a tree.
I thought they just chewed it to make it more the right shape for their little dome.
Well, that's what they actually eat, and they especially like the bark, as I said, of willow, aspen, and cottonwood. Now, I learned quite a bit about beavers from my great aunt Doris. And Doris actually had, as you and I were chatting about it and chuckling about it earlier, she had pet goats and Molly the badger, who got to be 20 years old. She had all kinds of different pets, coyotes, who we've talked about before on the show. And actually, that's not legal to do today. You know, that was in the 1940s up the Middle Fork near Essex. And so she had this little beaver. And boy, did I learn a lot from that. I mean, of course, it happened before I was around. It was interesting to learn about it. And I actually wrote about it in my book. And so here's how they found it. So, Colin, I'm going to read you this. They were in Essex, and they had the Essex camp right along the Middle Fork. So they were driving up over in high water. They were driving up over the Marias Pass and down the other side a little bit, and they saw this little critter. And Doris says, Dan got up and went over to pick it up. It was like a little drowned rat. And he said, it's a little beaver. We were scared of the little guy at first because we heard all these stories of beaver chewing things with their wicked teeth. So we put him in a wooden box. We took him home and warmed him up and fed him bread and milk. He loved that. We wrapped him up and put him in a pail so he couldn't chew on our table. But we found out later he didn't have any teeth. And so what they did is they fed him bread and milk, believe it or not. He became their all-time favorite pet. And he headquartered in, where do you think, inside their house?
Oh, gosh.
Where would it make sense? Where's water?
I guess kitchen, maybe?
Yeah, well, close. And he did like there, but his main headquarters was the bathroom in the bathtub. And that's why this chapter is called Beaver in the Bathtub. And she said, Willie named for the willows he loved, beefed up under Doris's care, quickly reaching a weight of 50 pounds. Each day, Doris prepared milk and bread for Willie. Even after he had his teeth, he still wanted his milk and bread. He headquartered in the basement in the bathroom, put water in the bathtub for him, and he seemed really satisfied there, she said. So a beaver in the bathtub. And he ranged around their camp. They lived right along the Middle Fork up by Essex, eating grass and small plants. And surprisingly, he never waddled down to the river. He just didn't want to go down there for some reason. A snowfall during Willie's first autumn startled him. Doris watched him, only a foot long, quote, use his little feet like a bulldozer and go this way and that way, backwards, forwards, to uncover the grass that was in the snow. He was sad to see his green recovered. And then she talked about lifting Willie up, and I showed you that picture of her holding him in his arms. And he weighed 50 pounds when she lifted him up. And she said, I lifted the beaver every day of his life, so I was used to it even when he weighed 50 pounds. And then what she did was the neatest part that I captured in the book was she wrote letters to her nieces and nephews in the persona of Willie. So she wrote Christmas letters in 1949 to her nephews and nieces from, quote, Willie, describing his life at Riverside Camp. Quote, when I was real young, I didn't even weigh a pound, she wrote about Willie. I am past 1 year old now, and I weigh more than you, maybe. I weigh 49 pounds this Christmas. There's lots of things I like to do and eat, but I think apples the best of all, continued Willie. I don't think I could live without my bread and willows every day. I cut the willow limbs into little pieces, and then I can take the bark off fast and chew it up with my back teeth. And then this is what I really learned from Doris, her close observations. Did you know that I have two sets of teeth and two sets of lips? I have four long front teeth for cutting, and one set of lips in the front and one set of lips behind to keep the water out of my mouth while I'm chewing branches underwater. So I had no idea, but she, you know, lived with it, so she observed those things.
Huh.
So that was the neat pet that she said it was the best pet they ever had, and that it was just like losing your favorite dog when he died. He died after only 3 years, unfortunately.
3 years?
Yeah, he didn't live that long in captivity like that. So beavers now can have a positive and a negative impact on the environment, as we mentioned. And when they build dams, they create new wetland environments, you know, in the stream bottom, like I saw when I was counting reds this year. But they can also, they block access to the spawning areas for bull trout and cutthroat. Lodgepole Creek, for example, up in the Great Bear is almost completely, the whole valley is blocked off, so they only have part of that to spawn in.
But I guess, yeah, that problem. If you get too many beavers, if they become too plentiful, then you've got lots more of those things in the river.
And it seems like they are coming too plentiful for the bull trout. Bull trout are threatened species, but it's blocking them from getting up from Platted Lake to their spawning areas.
Yeah, what are the predators of a beaver that would normally...
Well, mountain lions, and they don't have a lot of predators. They're pretty hefty animal, and they're pretty vicious.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, and they've actually attacked humans, too. Yeah. Even this year, in 2023, there were two girls attacked by beavers. Not here in this state, but...
Never thought of them as aggressive.
Yeah, I know. But maybe it's because they're getting more numerous, but they block fish migration and cause that siltation. One of the places in Morrison Creek, we actually dynamited their dam and trapped the beavers out, so the bull trout coming up from Flat Lake could enter their spawning area.
Yeah.
So they do other damage to human things, such as blocking road culverts, flooding roads and properties, cutting down trees. Oh, I have all those beautiful trees along the stream, and a beaver comes and cuts them down. So they're actually the number one or two well-known damage complaints to people trying to control them. And in fact, one state alone, and it didn't say which state, but there was $23 million a year in damage caused by beavers. It
reminds me of our woodpecker episode.
Do
they come along and chew on the side of your house?
Yeah, and this podcast is called Attack of the Beavers. But they are valuable members of the ecosystem, and they're also one of the most common sources of complaints as we talk. So if you think that sounds interesting to you, don't hesitate to go to a local stream and watch them work. They sure are cute, but they've got a nasty side also.
Keep your distance, though.
That's right. That's all the time we have for this episode of the FVCC Nature Journal. Thanks for joining us. I'm John Fraley, and I'll see you next time.